Welcome to Messy Business, the podcast for solo business owners who are brilliant at what they do, but sometimes feel like things are a bit of a mess. I'm Libby Langley, business therapist, author, and your practical voice of calm in the chaos of working for yourself. Each week, I'll help you make sense of the mess so you can build a business that actually feels like you. Here's this week's episode. Let me guess. You left your 9-to-5 for freedom. How's that working out for you? Is your business actually now just as restrictive as the job was? That's what we're talking about in today's episode of Messy Business. I want to talk to you about how we can accidentally recreate the same structures that we ran away from, and what happens when you start designing a business that truly gives you the life you wanted in the first place. Okay. Well, now. So you left your job for freedom, and does your business now just feel like work again? This is really about rethinking the way that you work. So when I started my business, I didn't really know anything about running a business. I'd had a brief experience of doing that for a year or so, probably 3 or 4 years before, 4 years probably before I actually started proper. But all the rest of my life had been in jobs, right? I had entrepreneurial streaks where I'd done creative things and sold them and all that. Actually, do you know, I did an episode on that not all that long ago. And one thing I've just remembered that I forgot to say about in that was when I made paintings in my garage and sold them on eBay. That was probably about 20 years ago, and I did sell a few. So anyway, that was an aside. That was something that I just thought of. That was a, you know, like an addendum to an episode from ages ago. But, you know, we have these kind of creative things. And because we are creative and we can do loads of great stuff, right? And we're brilliant people and can do, you know, serve our clients and make everybody really happy and change lives and all of that. However, the only way we actually know how to run a business is what we've learnt through life. And life is school, work, possibly with a bit of university in the middle. And the work environment still, I mean, it has changed since COVID, since hybrid working became much more common, or at-home working became much more common. But still, for a large proportion of people, particularly in service-based, you know, service industries like ours, service providers, I'm sorry, you know, you get up in the morning, you have your breakfast, you have a shower, you start work, you have your lunch, you go back to work, comes to towards tea time, you finish work, you have your tea, you watch telly, you go to bed, right? You know, I mean, life can vary on that, but that's kind of the structure, right, of so many people's lives, particularly the working day. And when we start a business, that's all we know. Right. So, you know, I started off working from home for the first year and a bit of my business. So I started up in 2011 and I worked from home in my spare room and it was just great, you know, but oh my goodness me, it was too much. I had too many things to do, and that's why I started getting staff and building a team. But then I still did work kind of the 9-to-5 structure. But one thing that I remember doing was, because I was like, oh, I can do anything I like. And the thing that's always stuck with me is being able to go to the post office whenever I needed to. I don't do it very often, but it's still a novelty. But when I first started out, I used to make myself have a proper lunch break. And I used to watch old episodes of Casualty on like UK Gold or something. And that was kind of what I did at lunchtime to make myself, like, I can do anything I like. I'm going to watch 40 minutes of television in my lunch break. But still, it was in the same structure, to be honest, as, you know, as a job used to be. And what, as I grew my team, well, I got an office and I got a staff member, and then I got more staff, and I had created a job for myself. I absolutely did. And I think what I thought back then, and I vaguely kind of can think of people who maybe said this to me, that in order to be a proper business, I needed an office. And there was an innovation centre in the town where I used to live, and it was a really cool place to meet people. It was great, very early in 2013. I was quite lucky to be in then and be able to do that then, because I did meet lots of people. I made friends in the building and it was good for my business. However, it wasn't the only way to do business. And as I got more staff, it was a team of five of us. I definitely was first one into the office and last one out, and ate my lunch at my desk and all of these things. And it's like, whilst it was fun a lot of the time, that's not freedom, is it? I mean, like, sure, I could come and go as I wanted, but I didn't very often because I was at work. And, you know, we used to knock off early on Fridays and all these things, but it was how I had run my department, and I run an out centre in my job. So it was me and then all the people who worked for me in the building. I ran the start of my business, I ran it the same way because that's what I knew. And I was good at it, right? Good at being a manager, good at leading things. But it was not what I wanted. And I realised it wasn't what I wanted. And I didn't want the cost of the office and the staff. And yes, it enabled me to bring in more income, but it's expensive. All those staff are expensive. I had to bring in, I can't even remember now, 12, 13 grand a month just to pay for the people and the office and all of that. And that's a lot of responsibility. And whilst we were able to do that because the turnover was good, it was like, hold on a minute. Is this really what I want? And I felt really privileged in being able to know that I was paying other people, know that I was being able to give other people jobs. You know, that's something I was really proud of and something I really liked about in an economic sense. But was it how I dreamt business life would be? And it wasn't. And I was burnt out and it just got too much. And I felt like some of the work that I was doing in the business, such as the consultancy and the coaching, like that just needed me. Some of that was being done to pay for the other things. I don't know, it's a complicated old thing, really. But and that didn't seem right. And that wasn't what I wanted. So I changed it all. And that was when someone said to me, I was at a conference in San Diego with some business friends, and it was, yeah, do you know what? You can just do this differently. And I'm like, oh, yeah. So I went home, made them all the redundant, which was just sucked, and gave up the office and went back home. And it's been much easier since then. And that's 10 years ago now. And in that 10 years since, I would say I have become more confident and more structured in my freedom. I mean, can you have structured freedom? I don't know if you can. But it is different now. And I really do work as I want to work now. But it's taken me years to actually be able to be really comfortable and confident in that. And I spend quite a bit of time with my clients in helping them come up with their own boundaries and actually set their own boundaries. Because this 9-to-5 is so ingrained in us, right? And I have one client in my reboot camp who now doesn't have to do the school run, right? So she's kind of freed up this both ends of her day. And one thing that we've talked about is actually that bookending of the day was quite useful. So we talked about things that she can do instead, like go for a walk or go for a run or do something else, right, that bookends the start and the end of the day. And if the working hours are fine, like the school hours and whatever, 9:30 till 3-ish, whatever, if those are fine and comfortable and happy to get the job done, just because there is not now the school run to do doesn't mean you now need to fill all that with extra work if you don't want to. This is where you get to make the choice. And I think it's really hard for us to just naturally do that because, well, if you're not, what are you doing? You're just sitting around. What are you doing? Why are you going for a walk? It's working hours. Well, because I work for myself and I've done all the calculations and I know how many clients I need and I know where my clients come from and I know how long it takes to serve my clients. And that means that I can generate the income that I want in these particular hours that suit me. So knob off. You do not dictate to me. And I think it's those kind of things that we need to have more confidence in and just be able to, you know, really feel into the business and rethink the way you work. I mean, that's why I've called this episode this, because it is about rethinking the way that you work, because you can do it in any way that you want to. And I do not have meetings on Mondays and Fridays, right? For a long, long time. There's one networking meeting that I will go to on a Friday about every 6 weeks. And that's kind of it really. I go to every couple of months on a Monday morning. But those are they're events, if you like, but I don't have meetings on Mondays and Fridays. And there's a couple of times that somebody wants to have a catch up with me and, you know, I could do Monday afternoon. I'm like, no. And I don't do it. And should you not work on those days? And I'm like, well, yes and no. Mondays are like precious days where I get my head sorted for the week. And I need those days because, I don't know, as I more and more unmask from my autism and ADHD, the masking to cover the autism and ADHD, the more I know how my head works and what I need. And I need Mondays to just sort out what's going on and what I'm doing and plan and record some podcasts, all those things. I need an uninterrupted day, because if there's interruption in the day, I find it really difficult to then do anything else. And you might be nodding along because, yes, this is very common. So Mondays are like precious days. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Well, Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have my live calls with my reboot camp, gorgeous humans, my clients. And so I know that those days are disrupted, right? And I say disrupted because it's at 12 o'clock. So it's slap bang in the middle of the day. So I have to, I don't know if it's the same for you, but if you've got a meeting, then it's quite hard to do anything before that meeting because you're thinking about the fact that there is the meeting. And then afterwards, well, because you've had the meeting, therefore you need to just recover from the meeting, right? And that's, you know, that's how it is for me. And that might well be how it is for you too. I know that's quite similar, certainly for a lot of my clients. So I know that Tuesdays and Thursdays are disrupted because of the client day. So maybe I'll disrupt Wednesday as well, because then they're in a block. But Friday, I am tired. I am tired by Friday, right? So I try not to work on Fridays. Absolutely would not have any calls booked in or anything like that. And I might, if I'm trying to, you know, the relaunch of this podcast and the changes I'm making to the program, you know, Friday is like kind of, whoa, head down, get all this stuff done day. But again, it's uninterrupted day. And Friday afternoons, I will say, I don't very often actually work on Friday afternoons because I am so tired by then. I think life just takes a lot out of me. And so I need to build in recovery time. Oh, that's okay. You know, I know that now. I'm not as young as I was when I last had a job. So working at, I don't know, just being like on for all those hours, I'm not sure I could do anymore. And also, it would require a level of masking that I'm just not able to do anymore. So I structure my week around what I need for my energy, what I need for my sanity, and also all the other stuff that's going on in life. You know, managing this house renovation and everything is taking a lot of time and energy. And I need to structure my working time so that I have the rest of the time to work around the carpet fitters and whoever else happens to be in the house that week. And I really feel kind of privileged to have got to the point where I'm able to do that and still work really deeply with my clients and still generate the income that I need, right? It's about that balance. But it does take so much conscious thought to be able to do that. And I think one of the reasons that we don't do that naturally from day one is we unconsciously recreate these job structures because it's routine, because it's safety, because it's what we've already known, it's because it's what you do, right? And so you don't necessarily even think that there's an alternative. Because what does that look like? Well, I don't know. I don't know anybody who does it. I don't understand any of this. So I think that's why we unconsciously recreate this stuff. But the kind of be consistent narrative that perpetuates the online world particularly can trick us into overworking, right? You know, it's you've got to do this same thing every day and you've got to be there at a certain time and you've got to post multiple times on social media and all of that. And it's like, yeah, but maybe what if you don't? What difference does that actually make? So looking at the return on investment of everything that you do is really, really important to know if you need to double down on it, or to know if it's a bit of a waste of time, or to know, like, yeah, maybe, but actually it doesn't match with my energy. Like I've said, you know, I've said a couple of times recently about stopping doing this podcast on YouTube because it doesn't match my energy. And oh my God, I just love the fact that I can just talk to you now and I don't have a camera on me. And it makes this podcast better. I know it does, because it makes me better. And, you know, that's this kind of be consistent narrative that can trick us into overworking, right? Because it's five times the energy for me to video this too. And does it bring five times the ROI? No. So therefore, I'm making the calculated and data-driven decision not to do it anymore. And that's, you know, you don't have to have consistency across like every single social media platform and every single thing that bloody exists out there. Yeah, you don't need to do it, because that can lead to overworking, and you don't need to do that. There is a big difference between stability and rigidity as well. Oh my God. And don't talk to me about that. I'm autistic, right? Rigidity is like it's like my middle name, along with chaos, which is the ADHD side. So, you know, wow. I mean, it's a hot mess here. Hence messy business. But stability and rigidity are two different things. So stability is about consistency, but it's about knowing, and it's about feeling safe and secure and supported in the way that you run things. And it's about relief as well. Absolutely, I would say that. So when I stopped taking calls on Mondays and Fridays, and I don't know how long ago that is. Is it maybe 2 years ago? I don't know. It's a while ago now. And that's just like a relief. I've got my relief days, because I know that I can just be in my own energy, be in my own flow, hyper-focused to my heart's content about whatever I need to do, or not work. And that's stability for me. It is a real stability. But rigidity would be saying, for me, it would be like, right, I'm going to work on Monday mornings, Monday afternoon, I'll take off. And it's like, no, that doesn't work for me for an energy. It just doesn't work. The whole day gives me so much more than just the afternoon, you know? I mean, I often kind of knock off around 3 o'clock anyway, to be honest, because I am tired by then. And I've done all the things that I need to do. Yes, there's always more that I can do, but I've kind of done all the things that I need to do. And that's again, is stability and knowing that I'm going to be able to do that. So if there are other meetings, like the plethora of builders who've been around so far, I'm able to organise stuff at 4 o'clock when I know I'm going to have done, for the most part, going to have done the things that I need to do. So that's kind of the difference, you know, the rigidity, it doesn't work because you need the flexibility, because that's why you started your business. But stability, what makes you feel stable, right? Reflect on that. What makes you feel stable? What makes you feel secure? How does your business need to be in order to get that? And yes, there's the income side of things, okay? That's a different conversation, really. It's about how you run the business, you know, rethinking the way you work. Think about what makes you feel stable and supported and comfortable. And do let me know, as ever. You know, send me a message, send me an email. I always read them all and I love to get them. Or send me a message on Instagram. Couldn't think what it was called then, Instagram. So the success metrics as well can trap us a little bit. You know, the traditional success metrics. I am very vocal about what I think about 10K months as an arbitrary goal. I think it's nonsense. You choose the goal that works for you and do some maths on it, right? Work out what you actually need and how much it's actually going to cost you to run your business. But also the endless content trap. And again, you know, putting this video on YouTube makes a lot of sense in a lot of ways, but I don't like doing it. And posting, you know, you've got to do reels, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. No, you have not got to do all those things, because it becomes an endless trap. And even, you know, people talk about their views on stuff. Oh, I get 1 million views a year on LinkedIn. Like, yes, yeah, so okay, good for you. What does that mean? How does that translate to your business, or how does that help me? You know, it's and I'm not taking anything away from people who are who achieve that, but what I'm saying is it's a success metric that is relative. It doesn't necessarily matter, right? Views don't necessarily matter unless it translates into something. So I would never want you to get trapped by these traditional success metrics, because most of them are just guff. It doesn't matter, right? And the alternative to that is that you create the structure for yourself that creates freedom. And you do need some sort of structure. I mean, is that just autistic me saying that? No, you do need some sort of structure, because if you never know what's coming, I mean, whilst on one hand that's really exciting, it's quite a high level of energy to maintain all the time. So I would argue even the most fluid of people needs some sort of structure. But you work out what works for you, right? But putting the structure in place that allows you to have the freedom is really important, I think, in business. And I would say absolutely, I bet that's not a 9-to-5. Yeah. You can, oh, there was a guy, Mark Wildman, who ran, oh my God, Sublime Science. I knew Mark for a really, really long time. We met in an entrepreneurial community we were in. He won an award when I ran my social media awards, and he got some investment on Dragon's Den after he won the social media award from me. But I remember him saying, and this is, again, the really early days of my business, like early 2013, I'll say, he didn't start work until lunchtime. And then he would work until sometimes till the early hours, right? And I was like, what? You can do what? And I've never forgotten it. And a hugely successful business. Like I said, I got investment on Dragon's Den, since sold the business, and was able to retire when he was like, I don't know, how old was he? Was he in his early 30s? I can't even remember now. And go and do more fun and interesting things, because he was really successful, despite the traditional world would say, despite not starting work until lunchtime because he liked to sleep in and working too late in the night. And it's just a really lovely example of building the business that you want. You know, he totally rethought the way that he wanted to work and just started it, how suited him, and thought, this is what I'm doing, and that's the end of it. And I really love that. And like my client who, you know, how do I bookend my working day? Because my working day works as it is. But how do I bookend that? Now I'm not doing the school run, because that was the natural bookend. And it's sometimes really simple things like that that make such a difference. And simplifying the way that you do things, taking things out. There's another client in my reboot camp who now doesn't do client calls on a Monday, for the same reason that I don't, because it allows her to have more freedom, more flexibility to do something different with Monday, or to have Monday as thinking days. And they sound like really, really simple things, but actually that's just one example. And if you have 10 simple things like that, your business is transformed. And this is what I do with my clients day in, day out. I support them to work out what those things actually are, and to help implement those, because it can take a bit of courage to shift everything around and to say no to people. That does kind of take a bit of courage sometimes. So that's exactly what I support people with in when they work with me. What I would invite you to do is to redefine your success as satisfaction, right? How happy you are. What levels of joy does your business bring? Not just scale. Because that doesn't work for everybody. So redefine what success means to you. And your reflection for today, I've given you a few actually, but another one, your final reflection, is if your business feels kind of heavy or out of alignment, what part of it still feels like a job? Because that's the key thing to change, right? Remember that you didn't start this business to clock in and clock out again. You started it for freedom, for flexibility, for joy, and those are still things that are available to you. You get to make all the choices. You get to do what you want, and you get to build the structure that supports that kind of freedom. And I am here to help you if you want my help to do it. We don't need the 9-to-5. It's all rubbish. I mean, it's not. Obviously, my husband has a 9-to-5, so I can't say that. But I thought you might appreciate that little song there. All right. Thank you for joining me. I don't even know why I forgot that someone's existing, I think, then. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Messy Business, helping you to rethink the way that you work. I will see you next time. Lots of love. See ya. Bye. Thanks for listening to Messy Business. Make sure you follow or subscribe so you don't miss your next dose of clarity and calm. You'll find me on Instagram at Libby Langley. And when you're ready for deeper support in a space where you can rebuild your business around who you are, you can join me inside Reboot Camp. See you next week for more Messy Business.